Good morning. I'm Tom, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the radio program, which is brought to you by Christians who meet at Main Street Church of Christ. We're located at 240 West Main Street in downtown Mount Sterling, Kentucky. You're welcome to come visit us at any one of our worship times, which are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have a Bible study, and that Bible study is going through some Old Testament passages that we pick up on Wednesday night and apply to Christians in the New Testament. After that Bible study, we have about a 15-minute break, and then we worship together until noon. Sunday evenings, we meet at 6 p.m., and normally we have a one-hour worship service. The first Sunday of each month is a song night, so if you'd like to sing, please come to that. That would be great. Wednesday evenings, we meet at 7 p.m., and on Wednesdays, we have a Bible study, like I mentioned a minute ago, that follows up on our Sunday morning study with the application to New Testament Christians. Those studies really go hand in hand, and if you come to both, they're very, very powerful lessons. So please join us for those studies anytime. You can also check us out online at www.mtsterlingchurch.com. You can email us at mtsterlingchurch@icloud.com, or you can give me a phone call at area code 859-432-0369. That number rings right to my pocket, and I don't always answer, but if it's a number I don't know, I usually let it go to voicemail. But I do respond to voicemail most of the time within a day. So if I don't pick up, just leave me a voicemail, and I'll call you right back. I'd love to hear from you if you have questions about something you hear on the radio program. I'd like to be on the radio program if you have questions about the Bible in general, or if you just need something that a Christian can help you with, give me a call. That's area code 859-432-0369. This morning I want to talk about one of the most controversial topics that Church of Christers typically hear about, and Christians who attend churches of Christ, I'm sure, have heard this question all the time about why we sing without instrumental music. And this is something that's really foreign to people, I think, who have not grown up in a congregation that sings, you know, a cappella or doesn't use music. It's something that looks really weird. And you know, to be fair, it looks about as weird when you have grown up in a church that only worships with a cappella music, and then you go to a congregation that uses instruments or something. It looks about the same level of weirdness. So I know how it feels, I think, from both sides. But the question that we always almost get is, you know, why? Why don't you use instruments? And I'm not going to answer that question completely today, because that's not exactly the topic. But this is a big part of that answer that I think that often, even in answering it, we kind of forget about, or we kind of ignore. But what I really want to talk about is singing itself. You know, singing is something that Christians should do. It's very clearly spelled out in Scripture that this is something God expects us to do to worship Him. And yet, a lot of people feel like, well, I can't sing. I don't have the talent to do it. I don't have musical ability. You know, you might hear someone say, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, you know. And so we get kind of self-conscious. And it happens, I'm sure, in every congregation. There are people who sing or don't sing, people who sing loud, and people who mumble, you know, because we all have different levels of skill here. And that's something, to be honest, that Scripture kind of allows for, but God still expects us to sing to Him, sing praises to Him. And one of the reasons that I want to talk about this is because we have this coming Sunday night, a class about singing. It was requested that we kind of learn some of the theory and method behind it so we can improve our singing. And I think that while that's really valuable, we also need to make sure to understand why we're doing this singing thing, you know, why we're praising God in song, you know, why we're bringing our voices to Him. Because I think once we understand that, whether or not we ever master the theory or the method of musical expression with our vocal cords, you know, then we'll be able to do this and do it with great joy. So one of the passages that I think is very powerful about praising God in song is in Hebrews 2. It's not a passage that, at least, I've always brought up when answering questions about singing, like why no instruments in music, or do I have to do it? But as I've studied this topic more and more over the years, this is one that I've come to rely on more and more, because it's very clear, it's very simple, and it's very powerful. You know, take, for example, verse 1 of Hebrews 2. It says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared to angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. This passage is powerful, I think, because it opens with an emphasis on listening to what we've been taught and not straying from it. And I love that this inspired writer wrote so critically about this topic. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard. And what he's referencing specifically is this message, this gospel, which God wrote, Jesus brought. He gave his disciples taught to Christians. And over and over and over again, the New Testament emphasizes not to stray from the teaching of Christ and his disciples, that if we stray from the teaching of Christ and his apostles, that we are straying, in fact, from God. And I think that anyone, whether you are a Christian or not, would understand that if you believe in God, it's a dangerous place to be, to stray from him like that. I think that should be mentioned in studies like this because it means that what this writer is about to write is not something that's necessarily open to interpretation. It's not something that he wrote and he wrote vaguely, or it's not something that he wrote and he didn't write specifically. It's something that he wrote literally prefacing by saying, you need to do exactly this, exactly as you were taught. And so in verses 5 through 9, he reemphasizes the importance of salvation, the blessing of being forgiven by sins, the humility of Christ in undergoing the coming from heaven to earth and then suffering on the cross. And in verse 11, he says this, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. And then he goes on to explain even more what a blessing it is to be one of those children who have been saved by Christ. Now, the reason that I find this so interesting about singing specifically is that the writer here is saying that this quote from, I think it's Psalm 109, and he's using this quote to express praise for the incredible sacrifice that Christ underwent. He's using this quote to express, you know, fellowship and trust and the blessing of being one of God's many children. And there's a couple very, very interesting things about him using this quote in verse 12. One is, you know, he says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. This expression of praise was going to be one that he was going to do with other people who also were enjoying this kind of salvation. The next phrase is, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. This expression of praise was not only going to be congregational, but it was going to be sung. Like I mentioned a second ago, this is probably a quote from Psalm 109. And Psalm 109 is a psalm that was written by David. And it was written expressly to be sung. And it may be at the time that they used some instruments while they sang this song, to be fair. But on the other hand, the focus of this praise was not at all the instruments. Even if the instruments were being used, it was not at all the instruments. And there's more to that study, as I mentioned a minute ago. But I do think it's worth pointing out that the focus of this psalm was simply praising God from one's heart and one's mouth. If you look at verse 1 of Psalm 109, David says, my God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They've spoken against me with lying tongues, with words of hatred. They surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. And he goes on to discuss this persecution that he's going through and how he hopes that God will handle it. But then in verse 21, he switches kind of his thought. But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I'm poor and needy. And my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse, may you bless. May those who attack me be put to shame. But may your servant rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshipers, I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. So you see in this psalm, whether or not it was later used with instruments, that as David rejoiced in the salvation of the Lord, he clearly said he would praise God with his mouth in the great throng of worshipers and the congregation of his brethren. He would praise him. And again, this is interesting for one because it shows that whether or not instruments were ever used in expressing this psalm, David was expressing this praise with his mouth. You know, Hebrews 2 shows that especially as the writer quotes specifically that one phrase from the psalm, that the writer was intentionally writing about singing to God with a heart and a mouth, and not anything else in Hebrews chapter 2. But it also shows the very important note about the purpose of singing. You know, we might feel insecure if we can't sing well. We might feel insecure if we can't carry a tune in a bucket. We might not feel like anybody else would want to hear us sing. But the truth is, if you understand the greatness of salvation, then it's singing praise to God, thanking Him, getting together with people who also have that blessing and expressing your gratitude for it is something that really you shouldn't be able to help but do. You should be almost all day, every day, caught up in these thoughts of salvation and beauty and gratitude to God. And you know what we do when we think about things that make us happy? We sing about them. You might have heard somebody talk about singing in the shower. You might find yourself singing along to your favorite song in the car. Those moments of peace when your mind is empty, you express whatever's on them through song. And in those same kinds of moments of peace or joy, when your heart is full of God's salvation, song should be ready at your lips. And so when you're in worship and you're singing, don't be afraid if you think it doesn't sound good. You know, anybody who's only there for how it sounds is not there for the right reason anyway. But if you are there for the right reason, you will sing. You will sing to the Lord, and you will be glad for doing it. And to be frank, He'll be glad for hearing it. Would you pray with me? Most holy God, thank you for our salvation, for your Son and His sacrifice. Help us, great King, to glorify you and please you. Help us, almighty God, to express praise and gratitude to you. Help us not to be lacking in that measure, but to spend our lives reflecting on the great blessing of being one of your children and to glorify you with our hearts and our mouths. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.